The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ
Sonora. And good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. Sorry, this morning my wife Ann was not able to join us because she's a little very busy at A&T Healthcare. Hopefully we might hear from her during the show. But joining us this morning on our show is someone I've known for a very long time. Actually, for my entire life, it's my older brother, John Fella, who is the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Social Service for the County of Rockland. John, can you give our listening audience at WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, that sounds great, John. That's perfect. Also in our studio is Tim Murphy, who is a case supervisor for the Orange County Department of Social Services. Tim, could you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, I think they're getting better and better. I like it. That's showing the energy. I always say this, when you walk into WTBQ, I get a rush of endorphins. I don't know, but you just feel the energy that's going, and that's what makes for a very good show. A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency, and we have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare, we're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. We are not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. Unlike the debates that are going on, is it going to get any nastier than that? I had suggested this on the last show, is that before they have a debate, there should be a warning, you know, this is for mature audiences, or, you know, please, if you're easily upset or something like that, please do not watch. I mean, if you get aggravated, you don't have to watch it. But our show is not going to be like that. Our show is engaging, informative, and I want to say we will be entertaining. We will accept calls. John and Tim said they will be accepting calls on Adult Protective Service is what we'll be talking about. The phone number that you can reach us at is 845 area code 651-1110. That's 845 area code 651-1110. I always have trouble calling in because it's 651 and there are three ones and I always lose track. I just see the four ones and that's what it should be, but it's 651-1110. And as always, thank you for making us a part of your Thursday morning. Let me just go over a couple little things. Please, we always say follow us on Facebook. The numbers are really increasing. We are at a very high number, and we want it to get higher because it's very informative. You'll find out a synopsis of this particular show that we're having. We are going to archive it, so if people want to listen to it, they can listen to it at any time at their leisure. We always say that we are streaming online. Just Google WTBQ Orange County, and there's a little icon, and you can listen to us live if you're not in the actual area. But the numbers are going up. I do want to have a shout-out. I just completed a class. As you know, A&T Healthcare, we do train individuals who would like to become a home healthcare aide or personal care aide. We just completed another personal care aide, and I want to give them a shout-out. They did an excellent job. They're very happy, and they're going to do a wonderful job working as, and this is here they're starting as home care workers and personal care aides. I wanted to, we do have an upcoming class in Newburgh. You can call our corporate office, 638-4342, and find out the exact date, but it'll be sometime in April. I start a new class up in Kingston on Monday, so we are moving around. And that's one of the things that's important as far as with education, as I say, with A&T Healthcare, is that we train our individuals who are working. So whenever I do a marketing thing, they say, well, how good are your aides? I said, they're very good, the best, because I'm one of the ones that train. If they don't have our standard, they don't make it into the class. That's one of the key things. And if they have trouble during the class, it's not going to happen. I also wanted to, there was some study. Again, I want to wait until I get more information on it, but they said that there's this study where if you had a diet that was high in carbohydrates, it increased your risk of having lung cancer. It was on NBC had it on yesterday, and I'm really like astounded by it. They said that they observed a 49% increased risk of lung cancer among subjects with the highest daily glycemic index compared to those with the lowest daily glycemic index. What the glycemic index is that when you consume food, is that it gets absorbed into your body and you have a big high glucose level that's in your body, which causes the insulin that has to be taking over. But this is the first time I heard something like that. Again, it was always associated with smoking, but now they're talking about the diet. The other part of it was is that the among non-smokers in the study, those with the highest glycemic index were more than twice as likely of developing lung cancer as those in the lowest groups. For smokers, the difference was elevated by 31% between the two groups. So I don't know how big this sample is. It's something that we will follow. I always know this. I heard this in the presentation, but sugar, we all love sugar, right? That flavors our drinks or stuff like that. But originally when sugar came out, that was supposed to be a spice, almost in the context of using salt and pepper, although we always say we use it too much salt. But it was never meant to flavor foods and to have things like that. So as I said, we're going to be following more information on that. The other thing is, I know we did have a show on this, on Zika virus, and we had a board meeting at A&T last night, and there was someone from the Department of Health in Rockland County, and I want to see if we can get some of the epidemiologists to talk about it. But the one study that just came out, and as I said, we've been updating this consistently, is that they're saying that the sexual transmission is more common than they thought from the World Health Organization. Okay, so that was one thing, but we don't know how long it's in your body. But they're saying there is a greater correlation with that as far as with sexually transmitted than they had previous thoughts. So, as I said, we'll keep this going, and I hope that we will be able to get one of the epidemiologists to come on the show and we can get more, specific details of it. So, today's program, we're going to be talking about elder abuse, okay, a.k.a. elder abuse, and it's an unfortunate event that does happen in society. And as we talk so often on Health Matters, is that we talk about that people are aging, they're living longer, and unfortunately, they become very vulnerable to unscrupulous individuals who may want to take advantage of them, okay? Adult abuse does take many forms, and we want to educate our listening audience of WTBQ on signs of how to recognize if there is adult abuse. John and Tim, I want to ask this first question before I get to meet you. But you're saying adult abuse. I always knew it as elder abuse. Why is there a distinction now? Am I not saying it correctly for all these years?
Okay. No. The issue is that adult abuse is considered an adult is considered anyone over the age of 18.
Okay.
It is something that happens in all social economic groups and within all ages. Many of our individuals who are abused are older adults, but it can happen in any age area. And Protective Services for Adults, which is a service provided throughout the state, can assist individuals over the age of 18.
Okay. John, very quickly, why don't you just introduce yourself to the listening audience of WTB? You'll just tell us something about yourself, and then we'll hear introduce everyone to Tim.
Okay, yes. I'm John Fella. I've known Peter all his life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with the Department of Social Services for 40 years.
John, that was your first job, am I correct?
That was my first. I've had other jobs to support myself, but
that was my first main job, right out of
elementary school. Right out of elementary school. I've been there, and I've worked in various positions. I've worked in the Adult Protective Services Unit. I'm Deputy Commissioner. I now oversee all adult services. And I'm very concerned about helping our vulnerable population.
Tim, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you wind up being a case supervisor for the Orange County Department of Social Service?
So like John, I started out in elementary school.
Okay.
So I've worked for the Department of Social Services and for the County of Orange for 36 years now.
Is that your first job?
No.
Okay.
Like John, I've worked in a variety of capacities through the department, and both in public assistance and Child Protective Services and now Adult Protective Services. So it's a long and fulfilling career of service to the public, and pretty rewarding for what we both do. John and I have worked together and known each other for a long time now.
Wow.
That's one of the advantages of the kind of work that we do.
Oh, that's great. And really, I want to thank you so much for your busy schedules to be able to be here. And I do want to say this. I always say this about even with nurses or what, it takes a special kind of person to be a nurse or home care aide. And I want to say it's the same thing in your field, being with social service, about your caring for the people that need the most help and being advocates for them. So I also believe that very strongly, that you do have to have that kind of, you know, connection with people.
Yes, it is. It's very important to have that and to be able to understand, to look at the different sides of the story, and to recognize that people have a right to make decisions. They have a right of self-determination, which is sometimes hard to see. People can make their own choices. It may not be the best choice one we would do, but they do have the right if they understand the consequences of what they're doing.
I also know, and I have to thank everyone, that you do in-services for A&T Healthcare. I know, Tim, you do it at the Newburgh office, like in the evening. And, John, you do it in the New City office as far as talking about the different things that are concerned about. So I want to say you are part of the A&T family in a little indirect way. But I just want to say, you know, want to thank you. And I know that's one of the things that I do as a director of education, is we do communicate that information to our employees, you're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we will go over what the population of Adult Protective Services serves. Okay? You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, the doctor is in. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here Sunday mornings, 8 a.m., WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. Call me on the hotline, 855-560-9900.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fellin, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, I have two distinguished gentlemen. One is my brother, John Fellin, who is the Deputy Commissioner of the County of Rockland of the Department of Social Service. And also we have Tim Murphy, who's the Case Supervisor of the Orange County Department of Social Service, Adult Protective Services. I got a signal from Dan that we have a caller on the line. Hi, welcome to Health Matters. If you could give me your first name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Ann Fella.
Oh, it's
sorry
Ann.
That I'm not there.
You made it, Ann. You made
John
it.
And Tim, great
good
to
morning.
Hear you.
Good morning.
Sounds
Ann.
Like you guys are having a really good time without me.
No. It was awkward when they did the intro. I said, "Oh boy, now it's on here." And
I want to say the reason why I'm not there today is because the A&T Healthcare is right now going through our reaccreditation process for the Joint Commission.
Okay.
And during that process, the Joint Commission surveyor is here, and she is reviewing all of our policies, procedures. She's making visits to our patients' homes, and in order to do that, and when that's completed, we'll be awarded our Joint Commission Gold Seal of Approval. So you know, we're excited about it. At the same time, it's a stressful time because
yes, it
we're,
is.
You know, showing all the best things that we do.
No, and that's what's important. Like a home health care agency, they are highly regulated, and that's one of the ways to see that, you know, the people are competent,
right.
That the policies are correct, as well as you're able to implement them. It's no good if you have a policy, you're not doing what the policy says.
Right. And we ask them to come and take a look at us so that we can, you know, look for improvements and find out what we're doing really great. So, you know, we're, you know, going to be finished tomorrow, and we did get a very high score on our policies and procedures yesterday, so we're very happy about that. I'm glad that John and Tim, is it?
Yes, Tim.
Are there, and I've worked very closely with the Office for the Aging, the Department of Social Services and Adult Protective Services.
Yes.
And something that I've been hearing a lot of on the news and the papers are about phone scams that are calling, and mostly our elderly population, things like claiming to be the Veterans Services looking to collect money for donations, the IRS calling to demand
money.
Yeah,
that was on the cover of the Journal News this morning.
Right, and also the U.S. Marshal calling to say that, you know, you're fined because you didn't attend jury duty. So I think it's important for people to know that they will not call you. These agencies are not going to be calling you for money or fines or to collect taxes. The IRS never calls your home. You would receive something in the mail. So I hope that you guys can touch on some of that, too, and make seniors aware of fraudulent solicitation that can go on.
Yes.
To always be wary of that.
Okay. I know one of the things real quickly, and I'm learning something. I always joke about it. I learn something whenever I do this show, but it's really called adult abuse as opposed to elder abuse because, as Tim and John stated, 18, they can cover anyone who's 18 or older. So
older.
I think they're trying to... Do you want to comment on that? About the
I absolutely understand that.
Absolutely. It's rampant right here. Elder abuse, adult abuse can occur for to anyone. Phone scam seems to be one of the big things that go on because it can be computer generated and shut out to a number of people. It is very important that people understand if there's something that serious that they should follow up for some more information. Also necessary to report it to the police. We alert our anyone, our adults, that if they do receive this information. And in fact, the IRS one, I got that call once, and it was very disturbing, and it almost sounded realistic, but I
and
soon
also,
realized.
And also, I think the call, I believe this, is that when you look at the caller ID, it looks like it says, you know, the police department or something like that.
Right.
That it looks like it's an authentic call.
Right. Yeah, it does. So the thing is to not, how can I say this, not let the horse leave the barn. The thing is to prevent it from ever happening. And if you hear something like that, to get as much information as you can to find out where there can be a follow-up. Also, more importantly, if some individual is impaired and they share with you, that's very disturbing. Many people will share, look, I got a call from here. To let them know that you know, that there is help out there, that they can speak to people who may be able to tell them that, look, it is clearly a fraudulent case, to really help them get down to the facts as to what is going on.
Yeah, it is an epidemic. The callers on phone scams are very well rehearsed and scripted. They will prey upon people who have a disability. Whether they be elderly or not, are easily confused, easily convinced. So it's like going to a stage show where the caller is persistent and threatening, and they convince the person that something bad is going to happen to them unless they make a payment. And once they start making a payment, they call back repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly and keep pushing the envelope. And the caller then becomes embarrassed or realizes they've been hoodwinked and they're not quite sure what to do with it. But as John said, there are lots of agencies for the public to reach out to and report it, to ask, get a phone number and call back, you know, inquire through the IRS, inquire through the police or sheriff's office, inquire through the New York State Consumer Affairs Office.
Yeah.
They have a deep office to help people throughout the state to respond to those things and know what to say and do.
Yeah, I know even the other one that I've heard so often is that they call up and they say your granddaughter or grandson is in jail. You have to put up this money so then he can be released. And I think what Tim was saying, this is well rehearsed. They're like good actors and stuff like that. And they do sound very convincing and, you know, something that they've been practicing and all that stuff. But it's very unfortunate when it happens. And sometimes people always, you know, I want to say, I hope it's human nature. You always give someone the benefit of the doubt. They really feel that someone's being genuine and all that stuff. And a lot of times that's not the case, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, in the world we live in now, we always have to question things like that. So, thank you. Thank you for sharing that information. And I'm going to wish you well on the rest of the show, and I have to get back to the survey.
Okay, and thank you for calling in.
All right, I'll see you
later.
Thank
you.
Okay, bye-bye. I was awkward with the intro. Like I always say, I'm joining me this morning is my mom, and I had to switch it around. All right, let me start off on Adult Protective Services. What are some of the services that Adult Protective Services provide? It sounds like I'm stuttering, but I'm not.
No, it's not. It's first of all, I just want to give some background information. It is a state mandated program, which is administered through local departments of social services, and I'm very honored to have our co-partner here, Orange County, is here, Rockland County. Each county in the state of New York has their own Adult Protective Services unit. And basically what it is to assist, to identify and to assist individuals who may have a physical or mental impairment or at risk or harm and have no one willing and able to help. Okay, what we basically do here is we get an information from a source. Sometimes it may be a professional, sometimes it may be a friend, sometimes it may even be the person themselves, that they're having some sort of problem, that there's a degree of risk, that they're unable to care for themselves, or that they're being abused or neglected. And we would go out there and make a assessment in their home environment as to what is going on, what is happening. Through our assessment here, we will see how bad the situation is or what is the situation, and if appropriate, to connect them with necessary services to help them reduce or eliminate the degree of risk. We'll also see what other supports, whether it be family or friends who can also assist them. One of the important things I just want to say about this program, I know it's with the Department of Social Services, it's provided without regard to income and resources. In other words, there's no means test. It's available to anyone in there. The only requirement is that it's basically the person is residing in Rockland, in the county of origin of the Department of Social mm-hmm. Services. However, as Tim will attest, there may be certain situations that we need assistance and we can co-assist in different counties and in situations like that. Right, Tim?
Right. One of the things that we wanted to express to the listeners, and we understand that the station reaches more than people just here in Rockland or Orange, is that regionally, here in the Hudson Valley, Adult Protective Services and Adult Services work collaboratively together. We have quarterly regional meetings. Many of us in Supervision Administration have been working together for more than 20 years. And it is a strength for our region that we work that closely and quickly together. We will share difficult cases. We will do courtesy assessments and investigations when there's a potential conflict of interest of family members or employees that reach out and need help. So that's one of the strengths that we offer behind the scenes. And it happens in an instant with a phone call between, the seven counties from Albany down to Westchester County. So it's really a neat thing to watch happen.
Yes.
That a region that big with the populace that we have in the Hudson Valley can work that quickly and closely for adults who are at risk.
Yeah. I think it's a testament to is that the ideas you said you've been communicating with so often together for all those years. And that's what's important as far as like different scenarios that are happening and how it might be addressed.
Definitely. And one of the things that I want to say about protective services for adults, and some people may say I'm a little scared to make to report or share information, is that we are community-based. In other words, we help people in the community where they're living, and we help them in a way that is in what is called the least restrictive environment. Mm-hmm. In other words, we try to keep people in the community for as long as possible, because it finds out that people are better, happier if they're living in their own house, in their own area. If there's supportive services in place, that's great. That's great. That's what's going to allow. And that's our goal in that area.
Now, I have to ask this, from what you're saying about staying in the community, what's your connection with the home health care?
Well,
go ahead.
The departments of social services contract with a lot of the licensed home care companies. And being able to put services, home care services, in someone's home is one of the tools that we use to keep people at home in the community, especially an impaired adult who can no longer do all their activities of daily living or their community living skills. They need some assistance to accomplish those things because of their impairment. And so we work with A&T Healthcare and a lot of the other agencies able to identify and provide a home health aide or personal care aide in someone's home to help ease their burden.
Yeah, and that's important. I think, John, you were saying it, and this is what I always tout, okay? I recently had my knee replaced, and I had home health care coming to my home, and this is something that people want to be in their home. They feel more relaxed. They're able to interact. They're part of the community and stuff. It's either for people to visit and all that stuff. So home health care services are very much a part of adult protective
services. Absolutely, very, very, very important part, a part that is necessary. And you need competent, capable individuals as well to assure the safety of the person and their well-being.
Well, that's always good. And I always say that a lot of times when a home health care agency comes in, that might be the first time that they look at. So I know sometimes with food, they may walk in and just see, gee, they just have five jars of peanut butter and two loaves of bread, and they're not having proper nutrition and things like that, or even like with maybe an infestation or something like that. There'd be other things that could be involved that no one had known about until like the home health care agency got in there.
Right. It can identify serious issues here, other serious issues as well.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we will be discussing what is adult abuse and how you can find signs of adult abuse. You're listening to Health Matters.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home health care agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home health care agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
Everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
This is Wayne Patterson of Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty and host of The Real Estate Show, heard every Monday at 10 a.m. where you can learn how to buy and sell properties on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
Well, after record-breaking high temperatures yesterday, it stays warm today with clouds and some showers later on, but we still go to 65 to 70. Tonight, periods of rain in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning. Clouds thin in the afternoon. It'll be a lot cooler with a high near 60. Clear and cold tomorrow night, 30 to 35, and sunny on Saturday, back up to 60. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ Sonora.
And good morning and welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, I have two distinguished gentlemen. One is my brother, John. John Fella, who's the Deputy Commissioner of the County of Rockland's Department of Social Service. And joining him is Tim Murphy, who is the Case Supervisor of Orange County Department of Social Service. And thank you so much for being here. Do you like that song by Joe Cocker? I always ask my guests, feeling all right?
I think it's wonderful.
I think it's very wonderful. Appropriate for a Health Matters show, because you want to be feeling all right when you're doing it. Today's topic that we're talking about is adult abuse and elder abuse. And let me just start out in a general question. What exactly is adult abuse? We've already distinguished that you can care for someone, can be called if someone 18 or older, so it doesn't necessarily have to be elderly. But just what exactly is adult abuse?
It takes many shapes and forms and sizes. Sometimes it is a willful neglect or abuse of an impaired adult. a willful denial of food, medicine, or psychological abuse, verbal battering. When you become impaired and you rely on somebody else to provide for your daily needs, and that person then uses it against you, that could lead to a lot of serious issues. It could be passive, too. People who may be well-meaning and just don't know any better. You may have impaired adults living together or elderly couple living together, and they're both losing capacity, physical or mental. Mm-hmm. And they may love each other very much, but they just can't provide the care that the other person needs. And therefore, a degree of risk to the person's health and safety exists. So it takes many shapes and sizes.
You know, one of the things that I have to say, and I'm just reminded, like with home health care, is that you're caring for someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. I always have to, whenever I say that, I have to make the distinction. Alzheimer's is the disease. Dementia is the symptom. And the symptom of dementia is you have a cognitive deficit. But there are many other diseases that do have dementia as a symptom. So it's not just universally exclusive for Alzheimer's. But one of the times, in the early stages of Alzheimer's, it's very subtle. And people say, oh, it's a senior moment, it's something like that. And they kind of blow it off. And it's almost insidious, Tim, that, as you said, like they're there and then it gets a little bit more complicated. And then, unfortunately, what we're always concerned about is that we don't want a serious event to happen, that they may leave in the middle of the winter and just walk outside without a jacket and just keep walking. So that's one of the things that, with the signs of early stages of Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, that's correct. But just following up on what Tim had said here is that, again, it can be a very act of omission, an inability to do something, and sometimes it can be an act of commission. What I'm referring to is that sometimes there may actually be physical abuse, the requirement to control someone's behavior and actions through force. That can also be one of the big things here is it could be deliberate financial exploitation, which is utilizing a person's resources, not for their interests, but for someone else's interest. And that's one of the biggest things that are growing throughout the whole state is that individuals, we're identifying more and more cases of individuals being exploited and abused financially as well. In fact, when we think of adult abuse, we think of it as the hidden crime, because for the most part, for every case that we know, there's at least seven that we don't know actually out there, because people live in isolation. And in fact, one of the studies that came out under the radar about financial exploitation, unbelievably, for every case we know of financial exploitation, for every one case we know, there's 24 that we don't know about.
Oh my gosh.
So those are the things that have been coming out.
Those are staggering statistics that you've just thrown out.
The financial exploitation issue is growing by leaps and bounds here in New York. The New York State Office of Children's and Family Services has taken a keen look at that. We believe that through the years it's been underreported. It is starting to become more frequently reported. But the cost in dollars to the victims and to the community is absolutely enormous. It is staggering to think that people do not have the resources to take care of themselves, and they may turn to other government programs because that money's gone. And it's a catch-22 because the person doesn't realize that they've been a victim until it's all gone. And then it comes to Adult Protective Services.
It's too late, yeah.
And it's too late because they're no longer a good complainant. Mm-hmm. And our penal system relies on someone being able to complain and say, no, I didn't give John permission to use $20,000 of my money.
Oh, boy.
So these are very difficult cases for us to investigate. It's very difficult for the police agencies to investigate and try and find a civil solution or a criminal solution.
Okay,
very complicated.
All right, I believe we have a caller on the line. Welcome to Health Matters. Could you please give me your first name and where are you calling from?
Sure. My name's JW, calling from Warwick.
Okay.
And I had a question for you because, you know, we could be proactive. We could be reactive with things like that. Were you guys going to be proactive in terms of educating people about taking care of, you know, older people? Like, can they lay off? You know, do they get a week, a couple days to shop during the week? Can they have somebody else support them? Do things like that, or educate them about how they can do things better rather than just try to arrest them?
What about that?
Yeah, we try very hard to project ourselves out in the community, and it's one of the reasons why we're here this morning. In Orange County, there's a variety of platforms where the community can go and ask for help, look at resources. The Department of Social Services, the Orange County Office for Aging, the Orange County Department of Health all offers a variety of online information, and we're also available by phone call to anybody in the county that's looking for help, needs help, feeling overwhelmed or frustrated for caring for an impaired adult.
I mean, like babysitting services or something like that, so that there's, you know, some of these people that are at home can just get out of the house or whatever.
Absolutely. Respite services do exist throughout our county and throughout the region. And those county offices make that information available upon request to any constituent throughout the counties.
Right. One of the issues with Valley View, from what I understand a while back, was that, you know, Valley View can provide the service it is for a while, but it couldn't make the adjustment because it was designated with a certain status. For example, elder care during the day would have been maybe a good mission for it somewhere down the road. You know, for people, and it couldn't do it because it had a different type of charter.
Yeah, Valley View and used to be known as the Orange County Home and Infirmary, and has evolved over the years. So it is basically a skilled nursing facility and a rehab facility for people who need to rehabilitate after an injury or an illness. It's not. It's its own standalone county department. It's not managed through the Department of Social Services, the Office of the Aging. So I'm really not up to speed on all the nuances of what it can offer and what it should have offered over time. Now it's doing much, much better, and it's become an integral part of the delivery service for people in the county.
Yeah. One of the things that Adult Protective Services does is it looks at the individual situation. It makes an assessment of what is going on, what are the services that would be most appropriate for the person, what are the services that the individual themselves will accept that will reduce the risk. We do, you know, caring for someone who is medically impaired and it's getting worse is very difficult, so we try to get in and encourage individuals to accept the supportive services wherever they may be. Again, we're trying to keep people in their home. There's respite services, there's home care that can be provided in that area. There's supports of other community organizations. I'm in Rockland County. We have some community organizations that help take people to the doctor's office. I know there's other community agencies up in Orange County. But one of the things a protective service worker would know as much about the available services and would try to connect the individual and the family with those services that will reduce the risk of that individual.
Okay. Very good. Listen, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Hey. Okay. Let's see what we have. All right. Could we explain now what are some signs of adult or elder abuse?
Bills being unpaid, since we're talking about financial exploitation, and you know, part of our assessment. If we're working with an adult who's living at home in the community and all of a sudden we're getting reports that the rent or mortgage is not paid, lights and gas bills aren't paid, there's no food in the house, and this person, even if they're a younger adult, you know, why? What changed so quickly? You know, they've been living independently for a number of years, and now all of a sudden bills are unpaid. Did they become iller? Did their disability become worse? Did somebody different step into their life?
Now, did they have the resources to pay it?
Do they have the resources to pay it? You know, that's a good question,
too. But even if someone forgets to pay a bill, if they have money and then they just don't pay, you know, they don't care the utilities. You don't pay the bill, they shut it off. They don't, you know, they ask questions later, but they shut it off and they go like that.
Yeah, so that's one of the indicators that we would look at very quickly. Or why are the bills unpaid? Why? What happened? Especially if it happened very suddenly, and you try and almost take the story and go backwards. You know that the problem is the bills are unpaid, and so the question is, what changed and when did it change?
Okay, and again, to look at the person, to speak to them. Many people are somewhat embarrassed by the fact that they're being exploited, that they can't pay the bills, they won't be as forthcoming as to what's happening. And one of the things that Adult Protective Services workers do is they ask the questions a little more than just the facts. Has anyone been helping you with your finances?
What has been going on here?
What is the difference? As Tim said, what's changed in this point? And it's something that we really have to look. And again, it's something that has to be, we like to say we make an assessment, but sometimes in financial exploitation cases, we're really the first part of an investigation. And one of the things Protective Services will do is we'll work with the district attorneys and other law enforcement agencies in cases where there has been financial exploitation and a crime had been committed.
Adult Protective Services in and of itself has no statutory or police-like power. We cannot remove endangered adults. We cannot make arrests. We can't launch a criminal investigation. But we are required to report suspected crimes to law enforcement. That's part of the mandates in our regulations. So we work very closely with district attorneys, the state police, and local sheriff's office throughout the region in reporting crimes as we see them. But it is difficult when you're trying to interview an impaired adult and the variety of social situations in terms of embarrassment, impairment, not wanting to get family members or close friends in trouble, you know, just wanting it to stop, and it sometimes takes a bit of time to unravel the story and do the assessment.
I know one of the things. About like physical abuse, I know that one of the things that I always teach my class is that one of the ways that they determine if there is physical abuse is that you have multiple bruises that are in different stages of healing. Like if someone were to punch you in your arm, it would turn black and blue, and then the color would change to green, and then like the last color would be yellow. So if an individual has multiple bruises that are in different stages of healing, that is a good indicator that there may be some physical abuse. You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we will talk more on identifying adult abuse and, more importantly, what the public can do to prevent it. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law. I'll be talking about how the law can help you. That's every Friday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Rob Loferis. Tune into my show Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and ask Rob for the right advice on how to buy or sell your car or home and keep more money in your pocket. Right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fallon, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. Joining me this morning is my brother John Fell, who's the Deputy Commissioner of Social Service for the County of Rockland. And with him is a colleague of his, although it's in Orange County, is Tim Murphy, who's a case supervisor for the Orange County Department of Social Services. You're listening to Health Matters. A&T Healthcare, a home healthcare agency, provides services. We have offices in Kingston, Newburgh, New City, New York City, as well as New Jersey. So if you're ever in need of home health care, we are the agency to call for. We're talking in our today that we do work very closely with Department of Social Services as far as for a need for home care. But Tim, could you give us some contact numbers if someone needed to contact Adult Protective Service? What would be the contact information to call?
Our general office number is 845-291-2800, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 a.m. There is always Adult Protective staff available during those hours to talk to anybody from the community about a perception for an at-risk adult. Also, we are fortunate enough in Orange County to have an answering service for nights and weekends and holidays. So that simply in Orange County, you dial 211. And the 211 operators can help take some information and connect you to our service that will take an adult abuse or neglect report. So we have the ability to take them 24/7, which is a nice tool to offer the Orange County community. So 211 is our our nighttime, evening, weekend information line.
John, tell us what the contact information is for the County of Rockland.
All right, the County of Rockland, there's a number of numbers we have, but I'm going to give you one number that is very important. That is our information and referral unit, Info Rock is what it's called. That number is 844-364-2020. And that is where you can get information about various services, as well as make a referral for protective services for adults. Also, in after hours here, to call that number, there's a number for the Sheriff's Department. The Department of Social Services in Rockland County has on-call workers who may be able to assist if needed. Again, with protective services for adults or adult protective services, we have to respond in emergency situations within 24 hours or 72 hours if it's non-emergency, but we will respond. That's the kind of
and that's what's important, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're educating our listening audience of WTBQ about the services that are available and how important it is. Okay, I have two questions I'm going to ask at the same time because I don't know what happens with that clock. I think someone's moving it faster or what have you, but what can the we've already went over the different signs of adult abuse, but what can the public do to prevent it? And also, how can the public report adult abuse?
People need to be vigilant in their observations of their fellow man, especially their family members and loved ones. Be aware of the fact that impairments make it difficult for people to live independently or safely in the community. And those impairments can come from any direction. That they can use the county websites. The Orange County website through the Office of the Aging, Department of Social Services, Department of Health are replete with information about where to go to get help or to call up and just have a conversation with one of the professionals within the county systems to ask questions about what is going on and what can they do to help out or prevent something bad from happening. The neat thing about Adult Protective Services is that reports made in good faith to us do not have any civil or criminal liability. People are encouraged to call. If you see something, say something. As long as those calls are made in good faith, that you're trying to help out another adult in the community, you think there's something going on, please call the office numbers that we gave you and have a conversation with our staff about what you see and what you think is going on.
Yeah, I have to say, being a registered nurse, that was always one of the things that we had to look at. Like if a patient came in and has some bruises, that's something that we would have had to have reported. I always know that people always, that we're in this litigious society, I hope they said that word right, but the idea is people say, I can't report that they might be abusing someone because if it's not true, then it's slander or something like that. And actually, I try to teach my students is that there's more trouble that would happen if you don't report if something were to happen. But educate the
social services law is very specific. If a person makes an adult protective report in good faith based on the information that they have in front of them, they are immune from civil liability. And I know it's a litigious society, but for our purposes, there's an enormous amount of protection that the social services law gives someone who's calling in.
Yeah. And again, with the public, it is so important because that's how we find out the majority of our cases and issues. Just want to be assured that when it is called in, we have very sensitive workers who look at the situation in a manner that is in the best interest of the person in a protective way. There's legal protection that individuals have, and they have a right of free choice, but we want to at least explain and see what the situation is. It's important that people look at it. If they feel something is going on, make the referral. Again, as Tim said, there's no liability in doing that, and it is an important component, particularly in financial abuse, because most people are very reluctant to report that. So it is important. And just something else in that, many times these cases get worse if there's no action. One of our best interventions that we have is that we're involved, because adult protective services must go visit the house, must make a home visit, and that changes the situation to a great, great degree because there's now observation and intervention that takes place. So that's the way to help people. There may not be a legal obligation for individuals to report such issues, but there is a moral obligation.
Adult Protective Services can accept anonymous and strictly confidential reports. It is important for the people in our communities to know that all information is treated with the utmost confidence. Our information is not available to other places, other people. It is extremely confidential, and only the people who work within Adult Protective Services have access to that information. Not other people within the department or other people within county governments cannot see that information. But it's important to know that we will accept anonymous reports and strictly confidential reports.
All right, now, you mentioned this earlier in the program, but if you do get a referral, someone from the public does call in, there's a time frame where you have to, is it triage? Well, you know what I'm saying. You go to the emergency room, you triage. Like if someone has a cold, they go there, someone comes walking in with a fractured femur, well, that person with the fractured femur is going to get seen before the person with the cold. But is there someone that triages, hey, we need to get out there soon? And what is the longest limit, if I'm using the right term, where they have to get out after a
Cases that are reported are triaged almost instantly between the unit supervisors and the staff assigned to that particular territory. So that information is looked at almost immediately, with decisions being made to prioritize the work based on the urgency of it. Adult Protective Services is required to respond to an urgent or life-threatening situation within 24 hours.
Okay.
In practice, we start working on that much more quickly. In other kinds of reports, we have to respond to the person named in the report within 72 hours, in three working days. We have to see the person named in the report. So there is a time, and we have a certain time frame in which to do the assessment and investigation to make a decision about what's going on, and that's 60 days.
Right. You know, and a lot of times it's unannounced and stuff like that. So that also is important. In that context, just that, you know, if you think someone's they're going to come by to season two, then they're going to be all dressed and nice and the house looking neat and all this other stuff, and you have no telltale signs.
In Orange County, the initial visits are unannounced.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Most times in Rockland.
Just like the Joint Commission, they were unannounced also. They showed up. that means you always have to be at the top of your game. We're just about out of time. Could you gentlemen, John, and just give a recap as far as what you've discussed today? Because it's wonderful information. Just give a quick recap.
Just a quick one. Adult Protective Services are services provided throughout the state for vulnerable adults, individuals who have a mental or physical impairment or at risk, including self-neglect and abuse, and have no one willing or able to help. We will go out and we visit the person in their home. We're community-based to try and keep them in their home. We recognize the importance of
self-determined home care.
We work with all sorts of services to do it. Home care is so important, as are other services. We let people know where to make a referral, because again, most of our referrals come from concerned individuals, and this is how we are able to find out. And I just want to say this, just in summary, we appreciate being on the radio show
WTBQ.
Right here. Because we need to have outreach to individuals. We do this continually. We do in-service for various organizations. We share this information because, again, many of these issues are hidden from the community.
One of the things I would like to recap is the collaborative efforts that exist for Adult Protective Services in the counties and in the region. We work long and hard to maintain those professional relationships within all the county departments and within our regional Adult Protective Services unit. As I said earlier, John and I have worked together for many, many years, and we rely on each other for brainstorming, for expertise, for help in a difficult case, or if we need to have an outside county come in for any reason to do some work if there's a potential conflict. It's an enormous strength that happens behind the scenes, and it's important for our constituents to know that the staff we use are very dedicated to what we do, and John, like myself, have many, many years of service for the public, and our staffs are equally adept at doing that.
Correct. Well, I guess the last question that I'm going to ask, I guess after your recap, is going to be very easy. John, Tim, may we have you back on again on Health Matters? The wealth of information that's out there, and I feel like we scraped the surface.
Okay.
Anytime.
Anytime.
All right, great. You heard it here. It's been live. All right, we're just about out of time. Please remember to follow us on Facebook and share it with your friends. And thank you for being a part of Health Matters. As I always end our program, stay healthy because your health matters. To you, your family, and friends, all the best. See you next week. Goodbye now.
Bye.